You are listening to Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Good morning, Truth Nation. It is 9 a.m. Excuse me. Look, you tell what time zone I'm in. And I said it with such confidence. It is 9 a.m. I'm sorry, y'all. It's 9 a.m. where I am, but it's in Milwaukee. It is 8 a.m. Good morning. It is Tuesday, August 27th. Hope you are having a great start to the week. Telly and I definitely are excited about what is to come tonight. Don't forget to tune in to the political roundtable discussion from 6 to 8 p.m. tonight on 101.7 The Truth with Dr. Ken Sherwin Hughes, Telly Hughes, Tori Lowe, and Bailey Coleman. Are you kidding me?
Man.
What? It's going to be better than CNN.
As Tori would say, powerful.
Powerful. Can't wait. Can't wait. Speaking of good roundtables and discussions, this is obviously a subject matter that keeps coming up in our community, especially where diabetes treatments, medicines are in short supply. And it is obviously having an impact on Milwaukee area patients. So if you are familiar with the insulin drug Novalin, it's called Novalin 7030 FlexPen Insulin, and it's used to manage type 2 diabetes. Now, in particular, the Milwaukee Veterans Affairs Hospital. So the VA provides a number of veterans this insulin to, again, manage their type 2 diabetes. And it turns out that there is a significant shortage of this specific insulin, which is manufactured by Novo Nordisk. And it's available throughout pharmacies all over the country. But here in Milwaukee, there is a shortage. Now, the spokesperson for the manufacturer of the insulin, Novo Nordisk, says that this particular pen is experiencing, quote, short-term manufacturing delays, and they sincerely apologize for any disruption to care that may be experienced. And that was pretty much it. Now, Telly, that's just like when you wait in line for 2 hours and then you finally get inside and they're like, we're sorry, the show's canceled.
Yeah.
What is sorry going to do?
Absolutely nothing. and you know, it went on to say that they'll have 2 to maybe 3 weeks of supplies left. So what happens after that? You just can't say, oh, I'm done. I need this to live. I don't need this to just be cool, or it's not just a vitamin. I mean, what do you mean that, you know, you just have this shortage? Why can't we get more of it? Like, that would be my issue. I mean, yes, there are manufacturing delays. Let's get those delays taken care of. We're talking about lives here. We're not talking about just something that, you know, we'll get to it when we can.
So you want me to go there? You want me to be, truth be told, right? You want me to go there?
Always.
Because you know how I am. Let's keep it all the way real. Now, the reason why a number of insulin manufacturers are experiencing these significant delays and disruptions for treatment is because you have another demographic of people who are buying out of their pocket, okay, cash money, which pharmaceutical companies, I'm sure, are loving the fact that you have a population of people that are buying out of their own pockets these types of insulin drugs as a way of managing their weight.
Yeah.
This has never, I'm just asking, when have we experienced such a prominent shortage of insulin in this country prior to the past 2 or 3 years where you've seen people that are not battling, have not been diagnosed, have no diabetes whatsoever, but are using these products,
yeah,
using these products to lose weight.
Yeah. No, that's real.
Can we just keep it real?
Yeah. I didn't even really think about that because you're right. I mean, I'm so conditioned for people to take medicine for things they have issues with, not okay, I would never think to take something that affects my kidneys, you know, that I'm using for other purposes. I don't know, but yeah,
yeah, these,
that
these
has
companies,
a lot to do with it.
They're for profit.
Yeah.
You know, pharmaceutical companies, at the end of the day, yes, they produce products designed to treat illnesses, to treat, you know, diagnosis of including diabetes. However, they are still a for-profit business. So if when they look at their numbers, if their profit margins are like tripling, like you got triple digit growth in terms of your profit margin due to a rapid growth of people who want to use insulin to help them navigate their weight loss journey, heck yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing, they can't keep up. The manufacturers, when you go from zero to 100, yeah, from a supply chain standpoint, you know, it's the procurement of raw materials, all these things that take place in producing a finished product, it cannot respond or react accordingly to these demands. And so what basically needs to happen is that there has to be legislation. There has to be local legislation that basically puts in some type of regulation or mandate to prevent people who are not diagnosed with diabetes from purchasing diabetes products.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
And I think about, so when you go to a Walmart or even a Target, they can lock up the washing powder and they can lock up the deodorant and things like that, or simple flu medicines, but you can't lock up this or restricted where I can't get that unless I've been diagnosed with that. There has to
you
be a better
face?
Way.
Yeah. You see my face, Telly. Yeah. You ain't said nothing but the truth. 101.7, the truth.
Now, hit us up, 833-212-1017. Let us know if you or someone you know is being affected by this shortage. And how does that make you feel knowing that these manufacturers can't keep up because people don't want, I mean, they want the magic pill or the magic shot to lose weight?
And see, that's why I didn't agree with Oprah Winfrey when she did the, for lack of better words, weight management special. I believe this was maybe 4 or 5 months ago. And one of her, you know, her big takeaways, or one of the big takeaways, if you watch the special, and you can still stream and watch it on Hulu, is where she said there's space for everyone within the weight loss journey. Although Oprah Winfrey has not publicly came out and said that she takes Ozempic or any other type of insulin that is designed for people with diabetes and not a weight loss treatment, I was like, man, Oprah, because, you know, she's so influential. You know, she's one of my sheroes. She's one of my heroines. And so to hear her say that there is space for everyone, there is space for everyone in terms of what works best for you as part of your weight loss journey. But if it impacts another group of people who are trying to live, and if it impacts you, because now you're hearing all these reports of people that, you know, have taken Ozempic and other insulin pens and are now experiencing stomach paralysis, which basically means your digestive system is frozen. There's nothing coming out. Can you imagine that, Telly?
Yeah, right.
Your whole purpose was to lose weight, and now your stomach can't even process food, so where nothing is coming out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's a lot of feelings I have about this, and I was just relating it to something that has happened to me often, and you're just thinking, like, man, like, I don't even need that, or I don't use that. It's like me going to a barbecue, and I put, like, some vegan burgers on the grill, and someone would be like, ooh, what are those? I'd be like, oh, those are vegan burgers. Like, oh, let me try one of them. Them look just like the real thing. And then they eat up your stuff. And then you're like, look.
And then go back and make a regular
then
burger.
Back and, yeah. And it's like, yo, you still got food to eat, but you took the only thing that I could eat at this mm-hmm. barbecue. And I'm sure that's how.
Such a great analogy.
I'm sure that's how, you know, people that are diabetics feel. It's like, yo, man, like, look, this is our stuff. Like, I need this to live, and you're just
to
using
live.
This. you're using this as a way to not have to go to the gym, or maybe you have tried to go to the gym and
other go ahead, tell
weight
your
losses.
Truth.
No, I'm saying maybe you have tried it, but I don't think that, you know, you just say, okay, I'm going to take this shot and everything's going to be all good, and not think there are no long-term effects. I mean, to each his own, your decision is your decision. But, I mean, you can also make the choice to try and do it the natural way as well.
Especially for those who are impacted by diabetes. Even if you haven't been clinically diagnosed with diabetes, 9 times out of 10, you have a close relative or friend who has type A, type B,
yes,
you know, all these different variations of diabetes that impact their ability to function or maybe even live. Now, if you are experiencing or someone that you know is experiencing a shortage regarding the current insulin shortages, you can contact the American Society of Health System Pharmacists. Again, the name of the organization is American Society of Health System Pharmacists. And they have a specific section regarding the shortages, which includes all pharmacies, even the pharmacy at the VA, the Veterans Affairs. So if you are needing to find out the availability of these medications at either a VA facility or a non-VA facility across the country, you can call 414-384-2000. And again, this is for people who are having a problem getting a prescription filled for insulin. Please call 414-384-2000 and select number one for pharmacy support. Now, a company spokesperson for Novo Nordisk, which is the manufacturer for the Novolin 730 insulin pen, released a statement. And Telly, when I read this statement, I was like, we are experiencing short-term manufacturing delays for Novolin 730 FlexPen that will result in disruptions for patients beginning in late July through August 2024. And I'm paraphrasing some of this. I'm just abbreviating. We sincerely apologize for any disruption to care that may be experienced, and we appreciate the patience and understanding of the healthcare professional community and patients. So, Telly, you can't get insulin. You got 2 weeks worth of insulin. You know that if you don't take your insulin, you could go into a diabetic coma. You could die. And I just told, somebody just told me to be patient. And knowing that a significant number of those pens are being purchased by people who do not have or have not been clinically diagnosed with diabetes.
Yeah.
And you're asking me to understand and be patient. Okay, yeah,
that's a hard sell. That's a tough ask, as some people would say. That's a tough ask, but what do you do? I mean, you forced to go other places, and what if you don't have the means to get to these other places? And so, it is a bad situation, and I think that there should be some restrictions. Like I said, if I got to ask someone at the store to unlock the door to get some doggone washing detergent, I think that same thing could be, you know, a little more emphasis and a little more of a procedure to be able to obtain these things. Because, again, you have people that really needed it versus people that want to change how they look.
Well, more to come, I'm sure, as this continues to develop in terms of the insulin shortages, not only here in Milwaukee, but throughout the country. When we come back, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into, there are a number of women in this country who are Black that have ran for president. We want to give you that fresh reminder as we enter into this presidential election, as well as a number of companies that have removed DE&I from their culture, from their development within employees. One includes a world headquarters that is located here in Milwaukee. We'll talk about that and more. You're listening to the best morning show on planet Earth, Truth Be Told with DT and Telly. We'll be back.
More of Truth Be Told with DT and Telly is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth App, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 1017 The Truth, The Truth App, and 1017thetruth.com.
Truth Nation, the 1017 The Truth Street Team, sponsored by UW Credit Union, is coming to an event near you. Join the Truth this Wednesday, tomorrow night from 5 to 8 p.m. at Washington Park for Washington Park Wednesdays. There's food, games, and plenty of entertainment for everyone to enjoy. The 1017 The Truth Street Team is sponsored by UW Credit Union. They are here for every you.
Thank you so much for tuning in. You are locked into the best morning show on planet Earth, Truth Be Told with DT and Telly. Today, we've been really talking about a lot of subject matters that are related to the health and wellness of members in our community, the black and brown community. Obviously, we had Dr. Ford kicking the ballistics. Remember that term, Telly?
Man, I do.
Kick the ballistics.
No, the actual factuals.
Actual factual. Kick that. Don't believe the hype. So we had Dr. Ford this morning sharing with us some tips and mechanisms to consider utilizing, as just well as being aware, as we are in a heat advisory today here in Milwaukee. Now, before we get into some of these companies that continue to drop DE&I programs, we have to get into, I don't know, Telly, we haven't really been talking politics too much this week, because I think the DNC last week, we're still beaming just from what, again, regardless of your affiliation, whether you're a Republican or Democrat, most, if not the majority of people who tuned in to both the RNC and the DNC said, man, that DNC, it just gave me a renewed perspective of hope. Mm. I'm still beaming. Are you?
Yeah, you know, I've come down. I'm glad that we're not talking as much politics. And now I'm really interested to see, like, OK, yeah, that was a great moment. But how do you keep that going? Like keep it moving. And so, yeah, but I'm kind of coming off it. But I still want to see, you know, OK, sustain this now. And
so.
Like you said, in terms of the politics, like, yeah, we have it the last couple of days, and I'm okay with that.
I'm with you too, brother. Now, what's interesting, as we now officially, as Madam Vice President Kamala Harris has accepted the presidential nomination for the Democratic Party, what's interesting is that Kamala Harris is not the first.
Mm-mm.
She may become the first female president, black president, and she's also the country's first female vice president, and has had a trajectory in politics. She is not the first black woman that has ran for president. Mm-hmm. Going back to 1968, Charlene Mitchell was 38 years old when she entered the presidential race on the Communist Party ticket back in 1968.
Whoa.
And her running mate, right, was the National Youth Director, Michael Zogarell.
Wow.
Now, what's interesting, Telly, in Truth Nation, is that she only appeared on the ballot in two states, two of the 50 states in this country. Fast forward, 1972, Shirley Chisholm ran for president in 1972. And this was so historical. Netflix made a movie about this. And Shirley Chisholm is played by the incredibly talented and gifted Regina King.
Yeah.
So if you have not already seen the movie, I recommend that you watch it. But yes, Shirley Chisholm ran for president in 1972 and coined the phrase unbought and unbossed to express her liberation as a black woman candidate. And she made history for becoming the first black congresswoman. So she served in the New York State Assembly, and she also possessed a variety of different educational credentials and degrees, and used her campaign to stand up for vulnerable groups.
Yeah.
1976. Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say in 1970, I thought Shirley Chisholm was the first black woman to run. I did not know that she wasn't. But what was her slogan again?
Unbought and unbossed. Like,
oh,
you
yeah.
ain't telling me what to do.
Look,
I'm a woman.
I put it to you this way. They were not ready for that in 1972. She was way ahead of her time.
No. And when you just shared that you thought that Shirley Chisholm was the only black woman besides Kamala. Trust me, you are not alone. I had no idea. So I'm loving this American history moment. 1976, Margaret Wright, civil rights activist and community organizer. Margaret Wright followed Shirley Chisholm's lead by running on the People's Party ticket just 4 years after Chisholm ran for president. So Wright held stints as a Black Panther Party education minister, as well as a former factory worker. And she advocated as part of her campaign for labor rights and ending racism. Now, this is interesting. 1984, 1988, 1992, 1996, 2000, and 2004. Isabel Masters, who was an educator, who also received a doctorate degree from the University of Oklahoma in Norman. She taught in various states. She ran for president in all of those years, which is the most that any woman in U.S. history has ran or put their name on the ballot. Again, that was from 1984 to 2004 presidential elections. Isabel Masters.
Oh, wow.
Can you
imagine?
Where
is she out of?
Let's see. She is, well, she it looked like she's like me. She lived everywhere. She taught in Oklahoma, New York, Nevada, and California.
Okay. Wow.
Because when people ask me, where do you live? Where are you from? I'll be like, you just pick a state. I'm there. Trust me.
Wow.
1988, Lenora Fulani, who was a psychologist, ran for president in 1988. It became the first black woman to have her name appear on every state's ballot. That's huge. She became an independent since she believed that the two-party system failed black Americans. And in 1985, she was the new Alliance Party candidate for mayor of New York City. And in 1988, she ran for president as the nominee for that same party, Lenora Fulani, and was on every state's ballot. That's
huge.
Yeah.
Was she
or the
first
Tori Lowe would say powerful.
Was she the first to ever be on every ballot? I mean, in every state's ballot?
Yes.
On the ballot in every state. She was the first. Okay.
She was the first. Yep. Lenora Fulani, black woman. Monica Moorhead, 1996, 2000, and 2016. She ran for president on the Workers' World Party ticket. Tilly, I didn't know there were so many tickets.
Me
either. The People's Party, the Workers' World Party, the Independent Party.
There's a whole lot.
You have to make there's a whole lot of parties. So, yes, she ran in 96, 2000, and as recent as 2016. And, that's pretty much it. Monica Moorhead.
Wow.
2000, the year of 2000, you had Angel Joy Chavez Rocker, Florida native, who ran for president in 2000 as a Republican, which made her the first black woman in the history of the United States to run as a Republican candidate. And she was passionate advocate of the two-party system and believed that Democrats took the black vote for granted. Angel Joy Chavez Rocker. Now,
man,
we do know of this women. One. I'm sure you know. I'm sorry, Telly?
Say, these are some powerful women.
Man, we everywhere. We here. Now, I know you know about Carol Moseley Braun. So in 1992, Carol Moseley Braun made history by becoming the first black woman elected to the U.S. Senate. She then ran for president as a Democrat in the 2004 presidential election, but lost the Democratic national nomination to John Kerry. Back in 2004.
Wow. Yeah.
In 2008.
She was big in Illinois.
Oh, yeah. She was huge. Yeah, I remember that. I'll never forget it. She was on the cover of Jet, Ebony, Essence.
Yeah, I remember her.
Black senator?
Carol
Moseley Braun.
Yeah. That was a name that everyone knew.
That was huge. I'll never forget that. Yes. Cynthia McKinney, a former six-term Georgia congresswoman, ran for president on the Green Party ticket, another party, in 2008, and she chose journalist and community activist Rosa Clemente as her running mate and obviously was defeated. In 2012, PETA Lindsey, in 2012, did not meet the age requirement to serve in the role when she ran for president on the Party for Socialism and Liberation ticket. Tell you, there's so many parties.
Man.
Socialism and Liberation ticket, because she was born in 1984. However, this black woman, PETA Lindsey, did manage to make the ballot in 13 states, which then finally, Truth Nation, leads us to 2024. Madam Vice President Kamala Harris made history by becoming the first Black and South Asian American woman elected for the position, as well back in 2020, became the first vice president as a Black and South Asian American woman to serve as vice president. So there you have it.
Wow.
She was not the first, and hopefully she will not be the last.
Yeah, that's a long history. So that just goes to show, like, each person had a process, was a part of this process to get to where we are now. And and all their contributions, you know, were worth it, and their efforts were worth it, because each one, I'm sure, built off the other.
Absolutely. And to your point, Telly, what I really want to underscore is that, like I told the gentleman the other day, this is not Black history. It's definitely representation of the legacy of Black people, but this is American history. And why is this not in textbooks? Why do we have to wait for the truth to teach us about all the Black women who have run for president?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
When we come back from break, speaking of embracing difference and equity and inclusion, there are a number of corporations, including a local company here in Milwaukee that has its headquarters here, that is a major employer, that has removed DE&I programs as part of their learning and development for their employees. So stay tuned. We're going to get into that and other topics as we wrap up today's Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Don't touch that dial. Truth Be Told with DT and Telly will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. It is Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Good morning. Good morning, Truth Nation. Thank you so much for staying locked in or tuning in. We hope your Tuesday is off to a great start. This is the best morning show on planet Earth, Truth Be Told with DT and Telly. Before break, we were introducing a recent headline that reports Jack Daniels and Harley Davidson have each announced that they are ending diversity, equity, and inclusion, also known as DE&I efforts, after basically a lot of backlash and even threats from anti-woke boycotts. Now, the motorcycle company, which is headquartered here in Milwaukee, announced Monday that it would be reviewing its sponsorships and pulling out of the Human Rights Campaign, which is also known as HRC, Corporate Equality Index, while also ensuring that employee training will remain absent of socially motivated content. Now, if you go to Harley Davidson's tweet page, or X account, I should say, it says on Harley Davidson's most recent X post, "We remain committed to listening to all members of our community as we continue on our journey together as one Harley Davidson, united we ride." Which I find interesting, because again, they have eliminated their partnership with the Human Rights Council, saying that this is problematic. Now, Telly, I'm going to just keep it real. Like, this is my perspective. When you look at the demographic, the majority in this country of people who purchase Harley Davidson motorcycles, put it this way, I have never seen Harley Davidson when they have their, 100th, 95th, every 5 years, their big celebration, their anniversary celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Never seen them invite Nelly, Dougie Fresh, or SZA. I'll leave it at that.
But I will say this. There are, and I didn't realize this until I moved to Milwaukee, and that was, there's a lot of Black people who own Harley Davidson motorcycles, three wheelers, just Harley Davidsons, period. And I mean, there are motorcycle clubs, there are all type of stuff that a lot of Black people participate in. And I wonder if it will make a difference with black consumers of Harley Davidson if this announcement will affect their sales, because it definitely seems like I don't understand how you think you can get better by cutting certain things. Like, you hear these organizations and give these watered down statements as to why DE&I programs and things of that nature no longer matter. Why all of a sudden, like, oh, you know, in a couple of months, this isn't going to matter anymore. And to me, there's really no justification, because can you come back 6 months from now and say, well, since we cut DE&I, we've been able to do this, we've been able to do that. I'm sure you're not going to be able to do that, other than saying that, well, we save money not putting our, you know, resources into this program. But other than that, like, how do you get better by not educating people on the diversities of your coworkers and your consumers?
And it sends a clear signal. You know, from my lens, you're basically telling me that if I don't look a certain way, or if I don't belong to a certain group, or if my sexual orientation makes you uncomfortable, then I really don't belong here. I'm not going to be cared about. I'm not going to have a sense of belonging. I'm not going to feel as though that I matter. And what's happening is that a lot of these corporations, to your point, Telly, are choosing to back away from DE&I. They're choosing to no longer really promote the power of diversity, equity, inclusion, simply because, again, as a for-profit company, they're saying, look, we good. We got to keep the people that buy our products, we got to keep them happy. And as soon as, okay, I'll give you an example. And this is real. About 2 years ago, probably post-pandemic, like right around 2021, 2022, Target, the department store, they had a huge LGBTQ plus initiative where, you know, they embraced clothing with the rainbow colors and things that represented the LGBTQ plus community. Well, you had a number of consumers that shop at Target that were saying, look, I don't want to bring my kids to Target, or I don't want to shop where I feel like I'm being forced to embrace something that makes me feel uncomfortable. Go to Target right now and tell me where you see any representation of LGBTQ at Target.
Yeah.
I'll wait.
Yeah. It's just a little pushback.
You know,
that's all it took.
You know, and here's the reality. Companies are forced to respond to these, you know, conservatives and, you know, Christian nationalists and other groups. But again, it's, you got to think about, okay, but what message are you sending to not only other consumers that happen to be part of a traditionally marginalized group, but also your team members? Mm-hmm. You telling me no people that work at Target are part of the LGBTQ plus community?
Right.
And quite frankly, if my memory serves me correctly, you know, you got about 30% of Gen Zers that identify as LGBTQ plus members, and they have a $1.4 trillion spending power.
Yeah.
Trillion, Telly.
Yeah.
Billion. Trillion.
You might want to tap into that market. And
you might want to tap into that part. And so, you know, as much as I understand the politics in terms of being a for-profit company, because we know that Harley Davidson is one of the companies that, you know, during the pandemic and even post-pandemic went through some significant drops in terms of profit and revenue. And they've, you know, Harley has been through a lot of organizational changes as well. You know, as an advocate of DE&I, in the sense of everybody should feel as though they belong, especially in the workplace, I know we're going to continue to have more conversations about this, but we have got to make sure that if you're going to remove DE&I as part of your company's culture and environment, you have to continue fostering inclusivity. You have to continue fostering embracing of difference. If you want to take D&I off and, you know, change it to another name, that's fine. But to all the executives that are listening to our show, to all the leaders, to all the decision makers, I understand as a business owner that sometimes you have to make decisions based on keeping the lights on and keeping your team members employed. But please, please do not discount the power of fostering an inclusive work environment where everyone feels welcomed, they feel valued, they feel respected, and they are able to bring their best authentic self to work. If you cannot do that, regardless of whatever program you're eliminating, that's going to result. You talk about profit loss now.
Mm-hmm.
But don't take it away.
Yeah, and let's not even go into the fact that if you are a person of color that works for Harley Davidson and you hear this news, how does this make you feel? Because I'm sure there has to be some anxiety of like, oh man, they can cut that program. So who, you know, am I next? Because this made me go and look up the executive management team at Harley Davidson, and to no surprise of mine, there is not one person of color that is a part of their executive management team. And that's number one. Number two, let's go to the board of directors. And there is one black man. His name is Alan Golston. And he is the president of United States Program for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. He's one of the members of the Harley Davidson board of directors. But other than him, there's no black representation amongst the executive management team, and there's only one of, let me count them, 9 board of directors. There's one black person. So when you aren't reminded or you don't see any diversity around you, it's basically out of sight, out of mind. And cutting these programs don't mean anything to them because it's not impacting them. And so, like, why should I, you know, be an advocate for diversity if it's not impacting me and it works for me? And that's the thing that used to always, like, I used to always think to myself, especially when I was in baseball, when I would go to these different stadiums around the country and I go to the press box and I'm the only black person in these press boxes. And I just think to myself, like, I wonder if it was reversed, how would they feel if they were the only white person in an all black, you know, press box or situation. And I know it wouldn't be the same, but again, I just think that when you start to cut these programs because you feel like there's no need for them because it doesn't impact you.
And not only is that one of the key drivers of this huge deficit, you know, Harley Davidson, again, on their X account, they X'd or tweeted, "We remain committed to listening to all members of our community as we continue on our journey together as one Harley Davidson, United We Ride." And I just want to understand, in addition to listening, if you are indeed removing DE&I programs initiatives, then in addition to listening, what other ways are you demonstrating your commitment? Because listening, it is a very valuable demonstration of inclusion when you listen to learn and listen to understand. I know I've had a number of my white friends tell me they listen to the truth every morning. Some of them say they listen to the truth all day because this is where they know they can truly get an authentic perspective from black people. And I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. However, in addition to listening, there also has to be actions as part of that commitment.
Yeah.
There has to be advocacy as part of that commitment. It can't just be, you know, I tune into the truth. Again, we appreciate it. Lord knows I do. That's what keeps us on the air. What else does a commitment entail?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's real. And be committed to understanding what's going on, not just like, oh, I feel you and that's it. Fresh, you are on Truth Be Told with DT and Telly. Good morning. What's your question or comment?
Hey, good morning to you both. How are you this morning?
Good, good.
So with this subject or this subject that you're talking about, I used to work for Harley Davidson in the corporate customer service department. I'm not surprised by this at all. The reason why I don't work there anymore is because of this type of blatant just racism that they're displaying. When I worked there, there was an incident of an employee. I believe he worked in a plant to where they kind of built some parts for the bikes. And I believe this was in Kansas City, Missouri. He came to work, and in his workstation, there was a picture of a noose.
Yes, I did hear about that. Yep.
And a note of go home, you know, the word. And they were very much so aware of that. And instead of addressing that issue, they ignored it. And we were told as customer service reps to, if there was any media that called about it or anyone called a question about it, we were to kind of like sweep it under the rug and, you know, give them a certain email to reach out to, which they did nothing about it. Mm-hmm. So that was the main reason why I no longer work there anymore, because I brought it to, you know, the powers that be, you know, attention. And they kind of were like, yeah, we're going to, you know, address it. And they never did. So that just showed me what type of company I was working for. So therefore, you know, I just moved on in life. But yeah.
How did that make you feel? How did that make you feel when you experienced that? How did that make you feel?
Just quite frankly, it enraged me. I was very, very, very upset. I would come to work and I would be very upset. I did not want to perform the job that I was, you know, hired for. I was not present. I was there. I would come to work, you know, just of course to make the money. But after a while, the money wasn't important either. It seemed to me that they didn't really care or, you know, had any interest in making the few minority workers there feel comfortable. As I stated, I worked at the corporate office on 35th and Juno, and out of maybe, I believe it was about 400 employees, 500 employees there, it may have been, you know, tops 35, 40 black people working there. It was kind of like, hey, we're going to meet the bare minimum requirement just so that no one can really say that it is this way here. But yeah, it was obvious and it was blatant.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your call, Fresh. We really appreciate it. And I mean, these are real life experiences that people go through that they never get a chance to talk about. And they have to just take whatever it is. I mean, you're talking about a man that not only was forced to leave a job that he didn't feel comfortable working anymore, but just the leading up to making that decision, the mentality, the psyche of going into work every day, knowing this is what it is and still having to be there. So, Fresh, we really appreciate you sharing that story.
Yes, thank you so much. And as we wrap up today's show, again, this has been such an informative show. And I have to give a shout out to all of our Truth Nation listeners and viewers, because you are what makes this show what it is. You're what makes this station what it is. And today has been one of those exceptionally engaging shows. So thank you so much. When we come back, we're going to wrap up with our truth of the matter. But we're going to wrap up, Telly and I, but you still got 9 more hours of live consecutive Milwaukee Black Talk Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
More of Truth Be Told with DT and Telly is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth App, and 1017thetruth.com. It is Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 1017 The Truth, The Truth App, and 1017thetruth.com.
Truth Nation, it is that time to give you our truth of the matter. My truth of the matter is simply this. Stay cool. Stay cool, both physical temperature, mental temperature, emotional temperature. Stay cool, because we got a lot, black people, that we are having to navigate through in addition to this heat advisory. Stay cool. Yeah. That's my truth of the matter.
Don't be a fool. Stay cool. My truth
Wait,
of the
hold
matter.
On, Telly. Hold on, Telly. Remember this one? You made me think of, remember, man, he remind me of summer school. What's that? No class.
No class.
I had to get that out.
I'm glad you did, because that is a great segue to my truth of the matter, and it's a simple shout out to all the MPS educators that are heading back to work. Summer is over, I know, but make it as big or as positive as you possibly can. It's going to be a great school year. I'm shouting out my wife, who isn't listening right now, but not just her, but all the MPS educators that are returning to work and to the classroom this week. Good luck. Make it a great, great, great year.
I love it. It's going to be a great year. Like you said, Telly, we're going to make it a great year. Shout out to your wife and other valuable educators, as well as our future leaders, our students. Let's wrap our arms around them and give them all the support we need. Speaking of support that we need, make sure you tune in tonight for the Political Roundtable featuring Telly Hughes, Sherwin, Bailey Coleman, Dr. Ken, and our very own powerful Tori Lowe.
Yes.
Up next, you've got 9 more hours of live, consecutive Black Talk Radio. Kicking it off, Sherwin Hughes, we love you so much. Stay tuned into the Truth Nation station all day. Watch us on YouTube. Telly and I will see and hear y'all tomorrow, Lord willing.
Peace out.